If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, over to Philippians 1. We're going to drop into the middle of verse 18 and read through verse 26. Philippians 1 and 18. The Apostle Paul says, "Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ will, even now as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather here this morning, to worship as we have, to use the songs that take the truths of your word and set them to music and allow us to sing these truths and have them resonate in our hearts and in our minds, to participate in what you want to accomplish through this local body of believers with our gifts, our offering, to spend some time looking into your word, allowing it to speak to our hearts. And then that special fellowship that we can only have as a part of this family when we gather together. We pray, Father, for those who aren't with us this morning. Bless them as you have blessed us, and return them to us soon, please. Quiet our hearts. Help us to focus upon your word. May this be more than just an educational exercise. May we determine now we're not just going to hear this, where your word calls us to make adjustments. We're going to do that because we want to be useful servants. We want to be men and women, young people of your word. So take your word, please, and your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're really in the middle of a section that began back at verse 12. In the first part, Paul simply rejoiced and said, "Christ is proclaimed." He's in prison. Because of his imprisonment, there have been men who have stepped up and said, "Paul's on the sidelines right now, but the gospel is important. It's necessary that the word get out." And they were stepping in that void and faithfully, lovingly preaching the gospel. There were others who looked at Paul's imprisonment as an opportunity to promote themselves as well as the gospel, as well as Jesus Christ. And Paul said, "You know, it's okay as long as Christ is proclaimed." And so he said there in the middle of verse 18, "And in this I rejoice." At the end of the day, people are learning about Jesus. But then it appears in our Bibles as though he repeats himself at the end of verse 18. He says, "Yes, and I will rejoice." And while our translators use the same English word, Paul did not. And your Bible may hint at this if it says, "I will continue to rejoice," because that's the word he used. It's not just the one-time realization that Christ is being proclaimed. It is now there is something ongoing that I will continue to be joyful about, or that I will continue to rejoice in. First of all, I will rejoice, he says, in deliverance. Verse 19, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ. Here I am in prison, but you continue to pray. I will do what I'm doing, and I believe at some time I will be delivered. It is according to my earnest expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ, even now, as always, would be exalted. Now, remember, Paul is one of those rare individuals that doesn't really care about where he shares the gospel or with whom he shares the gospel, as long as he's able to share the gospel. So in a sense, he's content to be where he is, but his prayer is that he not be put to shame in anything, that he be bold, that Christ be able to use his body, his abilities, his gifts to share the gospel. But there is that concern that in some way he could bring shame upon himself and as a result upon his Savior and upon the gospel. And that's every real teacher's concern. That the message be right, and that there be nothing about the messenger that would detract from the message. That there be nothing about the messenger that would so draw attention to him or her that you not see Christ, that you not hear what he has to say. That is our concern. Sunday school, whether it's our adult Sunday school teacher or the gals who labor week after week faithfully with our children, the gals who work with the children during church now, that they hear the gospel, that they hear God's word, the stories that are told are not just there for illustrative purposes, but it's the truth. As they understand who God is and who Jesus is and what he's accomplished, that God loves them, that Jesus died for them, so that they leave here thankful for their teachers, yes. And I hope they express that from time to time to you. But more importantly, that they leave with what you have taught them of God's word. And Paul doesn't want to ever be in the way of that. And so as he's sitting there in prison, shackled to Roman guards, sharing the gospel, he's also wanting to be very careful and wanting them to pray for him for his deliverance, that he would be able to be free, but also that while he's there, he would conduct himself appropriately and continue to be useful. He doesn't say so, but I don't think we do violation to God's word to think that there would have been days when he would have been discouraged. I don't know that he necessarily got up every morning or was awakened every morning with the idea, oh, I get new guards today. That seems to be his general attitude, but I'm guessing that there were days when even the Apostle Paul fought with discouragement, depression, which is usually the result of pride. Why me? How come I got to be here? You know, I'm a whole lot better than this. I'm a whole lot more capable than this. And Paul is saying, please pray for me. Keep that away from who I am and what I'm doing. This is what God has called me to here and now, and I want to do it to the very best of my ability. But I wonder if you caught this when we read through this passage earlier. He says in verse 19, I know that this will turn out for my deliverance. But the key to understanding that confidence is the last phrase here in verse 20. Whether by life or by death. Paul says, I'm leaving here in one of two ways. I'm either going to be released so that I walk out, or I'm going to be executed so that I fly out. I will be delivered either by life or by death. And that's the key to Paul's confidence in all of this. That's why he can say, I will be delivered. This is not going to last forever. And I'm really fine with however it ends. Pray with me for my deliverance. And pray that in the meantime, I prove to be productive and useful. Yes, I will continue to rejoice in my deliverance. And then in verse 21, I will continue to rejoice in my ministry. For, verse 20 says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's his perspective. To live is Christ. To live is to minister. To live is to be used by him to do whatever, wherever. It doesn't matter. That's me. To live is Christ, he says. And to die, well, that's gain. I get to go from here into the very presence of my Savior. But listen to how he struggled with that and why. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I don't know which to choose. To live as Christ, to die is gain. But if I continue here and continue to minister, continue to labor, that's good. But I still struggle which to choose. I'm hard pressed, he says, from both directions. Having the desire to depart and to be with Christ, for that's much better. Yeah, from this side, that's hard to look at, hard to deal with. There's pain and there's suffering and there's disappointment and loneliness and all of that that comes with death, absolutely. But as Paul is thinking of this, he's saying, I have ministered faithfully, fruitfully. I'm looking forward to that time when it's over, when it's done, and I get to move on. I'm hard-pressed from both directions. I love being here teaching. He's talking to a church that loved him, that prayed for him, that responded well to his initial ministry, a church that is growing. It's small and it's poor, but it's growing spiritually. And I know I can do that, and I will continue to do that. But I also long to be with Christ. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. And you know, maybe if it had been anybody else, I might have tripped over that. But what Paul is simply saying is, I have a lot more to teach you. I have a lot more I want you to learn. And right now, I think I'm the best one to do that. I'm the one who introduced you to Christ. I'm the one who brought you along in your understanding of the gospel, who he is, and how he wants to impact your life through his Holy Spirit. And there's more for you to learn. And I would like to be the one to teach you. I would like to be the one to move you along. So I rejoice in my deliverance, whatever that is, and I will rejoice in my continued ministry, however long that is. We have to make some assumptions, but it's reasonable to think that Paul is somewhere between 60 and 65 years old, which is a little longer than what would be considered the average lifespan of a first century male. But, you know, to figure those things includes a lot of other factors. But at the end of the day, he's lived a long, productive life. But he's drawn two conclusions. At this point, I look forward to seeing my Savior. But until then, I will help you prepare to meet your Savior. So he brings this section to a conclusion by saying something rather interesting. Convinced of this, I know I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. Convinced of this. Convinced of what? Convinced that I do have more to teach you. I haven't taken you as far as I can. I've been privileged to teach in different venues, different things. And I know there are most teachers, myself included, will come to a point where they have to honestly say, you know, I basically taught you all I know about this. It's time to bring in someone else who knows more, who can take you to the next level. Previously, I have taught firemen, taught first responders, taught basic EMTs. But if you wanted to go beyond that, well, I've taken you as far as I can. We're going to have to bring in somebody else who knows a whole lot more than I do. Paul is saying here, I haven't taught you everything I know. I haven't taught you everything I can to take you from where you are to where you can be. And so he says, convinced of that. And that word convinced, he uses it in a way that basically says this. This is my personal conclusion. He's not saying God has told me or God has promised me, but as I'm looking at the evidence, I believe that I will remain and continue. I believe this is not the end. I believe that I have more to teach you, and I believe God's going to let me do that. So convinced of this, he says, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress. And here's this word again, joy in the faith. What the Apostle Paul understood, what the church at Philippi understood and was continuing to learn, is that faith produces joy. I don't know if he would say this, but I think it would at least cause a yellow flag. If you claim to have faith and no joy, I think Paul would question your faith. If your faith is based upon the finished work of Christ, Jesus loved you, he died for you, he rose again to prove that he is who he says he is, the very Son of God, the Savior of the world. If that is your faith in the finished work of Christ, it will produce joy. Joy that is a contentment, a satisfaction, the realization that God is in control, that he's working in your heart and life, and that nothing happens without going through the grid of his permission. That should produce joy. If, on the other hand, you seem to have come to the same conclusion, but at the same time believing, I've deserved it, I've earned it, I'm worthy of it, you will always wonder if you still have it. And that will rob you of any real joy. So he says here, I want to move you along in your progress and joy in the faith so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. Even if there's a little hint here of self-promotion or pride, that is your confidence in me, what is the purpose? To abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. Again, the focus is that if I am correct in understanding that one day I will walk out of this prison, one of the things I am going to do is I'm going to go to Philippi and I'm going to continue to teach you. I will live a life of obedience and faithfulness, so that I will have the ability and the privilege, the honor of doing that, teaching you, and seeing you again. Now, at the end of the day, we don't know if he ever got to do that. The book of Acts ends as he is in prison. So we have no biblical proof or record that he ever got to go back to Philippi. But if you want to take a survey of those who believe he made it back, count me in. Because this man loved these people, they loved him, and he loved teaching them, moving them along in their walk with the Lord. But don't miss how this progresses. I will continue to rejoice in my deliverance. But understand, I define deliverance this way. I walk out or they carry me out, but either way, I'm delivered. And he was okay with either one. In fact, Paul would say, I lean more toward being carried out. However, as long as the Lord gives me the ability to teach, that's exactly what I'm going to do. Until he comes to the conclusion that I'm done. I have nothing more to offer you. I've fulfilled everything he gave me to do. And it's time to go home. That is every teacher's desire. Because the other option is that somehow, in some way, you disgraced yourself to the point where God said, you can't finish. You have disqualified yourself. So for any teacher, the desire, Paul's desire, my desire, to know him and to make him known and finish well. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. I pray, Father, that we've handled it accurately and in a way that you can impress upon our hearts that you're the one working in our lives. And yes, Paul is applying it to himself, thinking in terms of a teacher and ministry, and I read it thinking along those lines. But the fact is, wherever life takes us as believers is our ministry. At school, in the office, on the factory floor, out in the fields, the feedlots, wherever we are, that's our ministry. And there are going to be those that we can have an impact upon, that you will use us with, if we will just be available. And we will continue to minister for as long as you desire. May we be faithful. May we, in whatever our walk of life, desire to know your Son and to make him known and finish well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.